all want to be blessed. Sure we do. Problem is, sometimes we have a bad sense of direction. We expect all the blessing to flow in one direction, inwards to us. But that's not how it works. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're kicking off a new series of messages called Are You a Blessing or a Burden? Because if there's one thing for certain, God put you on this earth to be one and not the other. So let's do it. Let's dive into God's Word, and please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet. It's called 3 Ways to Be a Blessing, and I'd love to send you a free copy to help you lay hold of the 3 simple things that you can do to share God's love with those around you. The other day on Twitter, I picked up this quote from Dr. Taya Odimi from the UK. Not sure if I've pronounced his surname correctly there. Anyhow, this quote really caught my eye. This is what he said. You are either a blessing or a burden, an asset or a liability, a problem solver or a problem. It's your choice. I started going through all the people that I know, people I've worked with, friends and colleagues, and you know something? It was really easy to categorize each one of them on either side of that ledger, one or the other. Let's stick to that accounting metaphor for a moment. They're either an asset or a liability. I'm imagining if you went through the same exercise, you'd find exactly the same thing. Of course, nobody is a complete liability, nor is anyone perfect. I mean, none of us are. We all contribute to some extent, and we all drain to some extent as well. That's because, firstly, none of us is perfect, and secondly, we're all good at different things. But even taking all those things into consideration on balance, weighing someone's pros and cons, some people overall are an asset, and others are a liability. Some are a blessing, others are a burden. Some are problem solvers, and some are, plain and simple, part of the problem. So then, I began to imagine a world in which more of us become assets than liabilities, in which more of us become more of a blessing than a burden. Now, just imagine how different this world would be if that started to happen. You and I aren't necessarily in a position to change the whole world. I mean, we can't change every one of the 7-point-something billion people on the planet. Hey, we can't even sometimes change our wives or our husbands or our children. But there is one person whom we can change, ourselves. You can change you. I can change me. I wonder if you considered yourself for a moment, on balance, are you a blessing or a burden, an asset or a liability, a problem solver or a problem? Now, we have to be kind of careful in answering that question, and there's a reason for that. Because if the truth be known, we're a lot more generous in judging ourselves than we are in judging other people. I mean, we're pretty good at rationalizing our weaknesses, our failures, and our blind spots. We trivialize them, we sweep them under the carpet. So if I asked those people who are close to you, your family members, your work colleagues, whether you are on this side of the ledger or that, how would they answer? The Apostle Paul was sitting on death row in a Roman dungeon when he wrote a letter to his friends in a place called Philippi. This is one of the things that he had to say to them, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He said, look, don't do anything from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. This is an encouragement to be a blessing instead of a burden. See, if we're expecting everyone to do stuff for us, to look out for our interests, to meet our needs, and yet we don't do the same for them because all we care about is us and our interests and what we want and not them so much, well, you know what you call that? That's called being a hypocrite. This thing, call it what you will, selfishness, self-centeredness, whatever, there's some of that in each one of us. You see how Paul starts this out? He says to his friends and to you and me, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Imagine a sea, a landlocked sea like the Dead Sea, for instance, where all the rivers flow inwards, but none of them flows out. That's exactly what happens in the Dead Sea. The only way the water gets out is through evaporation by the heat of the sun. And the reason it's called the Dead Sea is because there's so much salt in it, because all the water flows in and never out, that nothing, not a single organism pretty much, can live in its water. It's a dead sea. Our selfishness is like the Dead Sea. We want everything to flow inward to us. We want others to be a blessing to us. We want circumstances to favour us. We want. It's all about the direction of the flow of the blessing. Many a man's life, many a woman's life, writes S.D. Gordon a few hundred years ago, is like the circumference of that Dead Sea. When everything flows inward, it becomes dead. And by experience, you and I actually already know that that's true. Hey, I'm someone who spent the first half of his life trying to live that way, and I wondered why nothing could ever satisfy me and why nothing ever truly made me happy and contented. The Apostle Paul addresses both sides of this equation in that short passage that we just read. Let's listen to it again. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but instead, look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. In other words, stop living your life trying to be blessed all the time and start blessing others. Turn the direction of the flow from inwards to outwards. Just think about this mentality we have about blessing. Everything flows into me, and then I spend the blessing, a bit like the water evaporating out of the Dead Sea. And then what's left is all this muck and this salt in which nothing can live. It's the same when we want blessing to flow inwards to us, and we spend that blessing, we use it, we do whatever we think we should do with it, and what's left is this empty, dead feeling because that thing we spent money on, that holiday, that whatever it was, just didn't satisfy us. That's why S.D. Gordon said, many a man's life and many a woman's life is like the circumference of that Dead Sea. Now, as evidence of the fact that what Paul is saying here of looking not to your own interests but to the interests of others actually works, he goes on with the prime example, the most obvious example of all. He goes on in the very next breath to cite what Jesus did, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. He says, look, think of yourself actually the way Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much for himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. In fact, when the time came, he set aside the privileges of his deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. And having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him up on high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before Jesus, this Jesus Christ, and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. In other words, the answer is in being a blessing instead of being a burden, being an asset instead of being a liability, being a problem solver instead of being the problem. It's a complete fundamental 180-degree change in direction from having blessing flowing inward to, like Jesus, letting the blessing flow outward through us, no matter what it may cost us. There's a lot in that. So we're going to spend some more time after the break chatting about that very thing. In the meantime, I'll leave you with that quote again for you to ponder. You are either a blessing or a burden, an asset or a liability, a problem solver or a problem. It's your choice. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just want to take a moment during this short break to share something truly important with you. One of the most powerful ways that you can share the life-changing love of God through Jesus Christ is to be a blessing to others. Now, that's an easy concept to pull up next to, but actually doing that, actually being that blessing, especially in those difficult relationships, well, that can be a whole lot harder. And that's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Three Ways to Be a Blessing, and it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you be the blessing of God in someone else's life. So, to request your copy, stop by at ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. Again, that web address is christianityworks.com. Okay, so let's dive straight back now into God's Word. It turns out that the direction that we're travelling in really matters. The first time I used a satellite navigation system in a car was one dark, wet and stormy night when I had to drive from London up into the Midlands in the UK. That's about a 3-hour drive, give or take. I had absolutely no idea how to get there. But the friendly woman at the hire car place at Heathrow Airport punched my destination address into the sat nav unit in the car. She told me how to use it, and off I went. Now, the British are pretty clever in this regard. They have rather long postcodes, which define not only the town, but the street and the street number. So all she had to do was punch in this long number into the sat nav, and hey presto, I was on my way. It's great stuff. But an hour and a half or so into the trip, I started to get a bit worried. What if she'd punched just one wrong number into that sat nav? It's the first time I'd ever driven in England. It was dark, it was wet. I had really no sense of direction. I really didn't know where I was headed. I was relying completely on the satellite navigation. This clever little efficient unit could well be taking me to a completely different part of the country if the woman had punched in the wrong number. I remember when that thought hit me, I had a bit of a panic attack thinking, what if I end up in the opposite side of the country? I had no idea whether I was heading in the right direction. So I pulled over, I stopped, I checked the sat nav, and fortunately, yeah, the woman at the hire car place had indeed punched the right numbers into the sat nav. When you think about it, we make the choices we make in life. We head in the direction that we head in life, based rather a lot on the way in which we're programmed to function. Our parents, our teachers, our experiences, our own selfishness, capitalism, desires, all those things somehow, little by little, imperceptibly, end up putting us on a certain road, heading in a certain direction. And when we come to an intersection in life, a roundabout, a fork in the road, we choose based on what? Turns out we're a bit like that clever little sat nav unit in my car. We choose based on how we've been programmed over the course of our lives thus far. So what if we've been programmed incorrectly, and what if we're heading in the wrong direction? Have you ever thought about that? Well, there's a very obvious consequences if you're heading in the wrong direction. If you're heading in the wrong direction in your life, you aren't going to arrive at the place that you were expecting to arrive at, that you were hoping to arrive at, that you were wanting to arrive at. This week on the program, we're asking the question, each one of us, am I a blessing or a burden? Am I an asset or a liability? Am I a problem solver or am I the problem? And a lot of it has to do with the direction that we're headed. Not just a slight shift for most of us, but a profound, radical 180-degree change in direction. Whatever you may think of him, this man Jesus a couple of thousand years ago said some really profound things. One of them was this: it is more blessed to give than to receive. Just a few small words, but in them is the power to make a 180-degree change in direction. And that is not an easy change to make. We all know that turning a big ship around from heading north to heading south isn't something that you do in a few hundred yards or metres. If a big ship is powering ahead north, it can take miles for it to slow down, to turn round, and to head south. Our lives are like that, because this idea that if all the blessing flows inwards, then we'll be happy, is so seductive and powerful, and many of us are heading in that direction. It's been programmed into us, much like that address was on the sat-nav unit. The problem with this direction, the idea that blessing flows inwards, is that it doesn't get us to where we want to be. We get to the destination, and the sense of happiness and contentment and fulfillment that we were expecting by making ourselves the centre of the universe just isn't there. I know that because I spent a lot of my life heading in that direction. And chances are that you know it too, because you've tried it as well and it hasn't worked. We want it to work, I mean, we really do, but wanting isn't enough, because it's a fundamental law of the universe that when we spend all our effort and time and money and talents trying to make ourselves happy, then we'll never be happy. It is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, when we change the direction of the flow of blessing from inward to outward, That's when we experience the happiness and contentment that we've been looking for. Any parent who's struggled and sacrificed to bring up children can tell you that. There's nothing more satisfying than when we're able to use who we are and what we've been given to leave a lasting mark of love and encouragement and achievement on the heart of another. The blessing's awesome. It flows out of us. We are indeed a blessing. And if we want it always to flow into us, then we're going to be a burden. The Bible's replete with scriptures that speak about this very thing, yet scores of people are being robbed of the sheer delight and the joy that comes when we bless other people because someone's punched the wrong destination into them. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, you are called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. John chapter 13, verses 12 to 14, when he had washed their feet, he put on his outer garment and resumed his place, and he said to them, do you not understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for I am. If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That's just a few of those scriptures. There are a lot more. And not because God wants to put us into servitude or slavery somehow, because he knows how we function. After all, he made us this way, and he wants to set us free. Freedom is when we use who we are and what we have to love others by serving them. And in doing that, we discover that all this blessing flows out of us from God, outwards to others. Our hearts light up with a joy that all along we've been looking for. I mean, hallelujah. Jesus was right. It really is more blessed to give than to receive. How come I didn't think of that? I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you draw closer to God. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional with a powerful scripture verse and some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. It's God's Word, fresh for you each day, and it's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by at christianityworks.com and you'll see that fresh e-devotional sign-up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address, in case you missed it, is christianityworks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. Okay, so let's get back into the word to see what else God has for us. Have you ever woken up with that intention in your heart? Jumped out of your bed to bless that really annoying person in your life? I didn't think so. Now, what that tells us about ourselves, because most of us are like that, is that we're far more concerned about ourselves than that other person. Now, you may think that's a bit unfair. I mean, really, after all, this person does drive you crazy. Most days it seems that they don't have a single redeeming feature. Why on earth would you want to bless them? That's our natural response. But emotion aside, if we choose to bless or not bless a person based on their impact on us, then quite clearly we are more concerned about how their actions affect us than we are about how we could help them. We're putting ourselves first and them last, perhaps to protect ourselves or maybe to punish them. Whatever the reason, the choice to withhold blessing from a person who annoys us or hurts us is based on us and not them. See, we tend to judge people by how they look, how they speak, how they smell, frankly, what their status is in society, what they earn, where they live, what they drive, how they speak, how they act. We judge people based on our prejudices and their outward appearance. You put it that way, it's a bit scary. I'm trying to imagine here for a moment. If my parents had judged me that way when I was growing up and being a difficult teenager, I'd have been in a lot of trouble. Looking back on it with the wisdom that comes with years, man, I must have been a difficult teenager. I was a tough nut, strong, smart, quick, and very, very self-centered. And to be sure, Mum and Dad did get annoyed with me from time to time and angry with me from time to time, and sometimes they had to punish me. That's the way it ought to be. But overall, they didn't stop blessing me. They didn't stop loving me. They didn't stop wanting the best for me. Now, if we know this as parents, why don't we know it as wives and husbands? Why don't we know it as brothers and sisters? Why don't we know it as work colleagues and friends? I'll tell you why. Because somehow along the way, we've been programmed to look after number one, ourselves. I look after me, you look after you. Come on, it's true, isn't it? So let's get back to our natural response in dealing with these difficult people in our lives. And let me ask you, how well is it actually working? When you look at the conflict in your life, the conflict in families, neighbourhoods, suburbs, villages, towns, cities, between countries, when you look at the almost 50 wars raging around the planet today, when you look at how the poor and marginalised are faring, how well is our current approach really working? You'd have to conclude by any measure, not very well at all. I wonder if there's a different way, a different plan, something different that we can try in order to be a blessing rather than a burden, to be a problem solver rather than the problem. You've heard it said, Jesus, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist the evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your coat, give them your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go an extra mile, go a second mile with them. Give to everyone who begs from you. Don't refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. I'm not a great student of history, but there's one leader in my lifetime, a man whose life exemplifies what Jesus is talking about here. The guy's name is Nelson Mandela. A man who was the leader of the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa spent 27 years in prison. And when he was released and finally became president of South Africa, instead of leading a violent purge of retribution against his former jailers and oppressors, Mandela presided over a period of healing and reconciliation in his country. Of course, South Africa has a long way to go, but if anyone can be said to have turned the other cheek, it had been Nelson Mandela. My point is that a life like that bears testament to the truth of what Jesus is saying about turning the other cheek, going the extra mile. See, at the end of the day, love, service, sacrifice, those are the things that change the difficult people around us. They're the only things that can change the difficult people around us. The thing I've noticed about turning the other cheek is that it rather hurts sometimes. Jesus wasn't just talking figuratively here, he was talking about practical, real things that happen. I mean, if someone hit me on the cheek, I'd want to punch their lights out, not turn the other one. If someone sued me for my coat, the last thing I'd want to do is to offer them my cloak as well. So why is Jesus telling us this stuff? Why is he coming at us with this totally counterintuitive, totally against the grain approach to dealing with the people who drive us nuts? Here's why. Because it's the only way you'll ever change them. When we respond to someone in love, with practical love, love that serves them, love that accepts them, love that affirms them, when they know that they don't deserve the love that we're giving them, when we do that to them time and time again, it's got to have an impact on them. Eventually, they're going to ask the question, hang on a minute, why is this person treating me the way they are? Why are they giving me what I don't deserve? How can they have that sort of strength? And the answer we're going to be able to share with them is this. Well, I had to listen to what this Jesus guy had to say. And it's hard some days, but he actually makes sense. Love is the only thing that will change the world. And when we love the people who don't deserve it, you know what we're telling them? We're saying to them, you are more important to me than how you behave. You are more important to me than the hurt that you cause me. You are more important to me. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that there is any more powerful way of reaching a person, of communicating with them, than the practical love which they simply don't deserve. That sort of love has a way of getting through to even the hardest heart. It's about showing mercy and giving grace. When you think about it, mercy is withholding from a person the thing that they do deserve, the punishment, and grace is giving them the love that they don't deserve. And it turns out that this stuff really works. My friend, I want to encourage you to look at the difficult people in your life, the people who are hurting you, the people who are causing you angst. and go and love those people. Maybe there's just one of them. Go and love that one person with the same love with which Jesus loves you. Well, that's pretty much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic relationship with Jesus. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant Bible teaching available at ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you be all that God made you to be. So dive into the Media Lounge to watch our weekly Christianity Works television broadcast or the daily fresh devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can easily filter the content to quickly lay hold of just the teaching that you need for whatever you have going on today. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact in your life to bring you His joy, His peace, and His power. So go on, head across to ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.